This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Is it ready? You know? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على من بعث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we begin by thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we beseech him to shower Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with compliments and salutations, and his family and his companions and all those who follow his tradition until the end of time. We ask Allah to teach us that which benefits us, to allow us to benefit from what he has taught us, and to increase us in beneficial knowledge. We ask Allah to protect us from information that does not benefit, that does not bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been discussing for the past several months Ibn al-Qayyim's or an extraction from Ibn al-Qayyim's masterpiece on the 10 ways and methods of attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have finished four so far. The first that we talked about is qira'atul qur'ani bitadabbur, to recite the Qur'an with reflection and with pondering. And the second is to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through voluntary acts of worship after fulfilling the obligatory ones. The third is to be in a continuous and constant state of dhikr, of remembrance of Allah. The fourth was to prefer what Allah loves over what we love and our desires when they are contradictory. And the fifth, inshallah ta'ala, and hopefully the sixth. I hope we can cover the fifth and the sixth today, because our hope is to finish all 10 before the year concludes, because we started in the beginning of the year. We missed a couple of months for logistical reasons, but hopefully if we can finish this before the year ends. So we have tonight's session, inshallah ta'ala, and then we have one more next month in December, inshallah, And then come 2018, bi-ithnillah, if Allah grants us life and ability, then hopefully we can begin a new topic, insha'Allah ta'ala, and we'll see what happens there. So today we have as-sababul khamis, the fifth way of attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim says, quote, مُطَالَعَةُ الْقَلْبِ لِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَمُشَاهَدَتِهَا وَمَعْرِفَتِهَا وَتَقَلُّبِهِ فِي رِيَاضِ هَذِهِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ فَمَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهَ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ أَحَبَّهُ لَا مَحَالَةِ. Ibn al-Qayyim says the fifth way is to expose the heart to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to ponder and witness the realities and the effects of these names, and to have ma'rifa. And we will talk about what this word means. To have ma'rifa, to have knowledge and awareness of these names. And he says to taqallub, to flip back and forth in a way of enjoyment in the garden of these names and attributes. Like, imagine these names and attributes are like beautiful trees and plants and flowers, and you're in that garden and you're just rolling around in there enjoying yourself. He says, فَمَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهُ, whoever knows Allah, and again he used the word عَرَفَ, and we'll talk about it right now. فَمَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهُ, whoever knows and is aware of Allah, through his names and his attributes and his actions, he will love Allah absolutely, no doubt about it. There cannot be any other emotional consequence. Whoever knows Allah through his names and attributes and his actions, there is no other result other than ending in loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we actually get into this, I want to talk about mention a quick note about names. Names are very important, and they're very valuable. Words in general are very important. Oftentimes we underestimate the impact and the value of words that we use, either in a positive sense or in a negative sense. So there could be some words that are very positive, and we underestimate how positive and the effect that they can have, so we don't use them enough. Or we aren't genuine when we use them. And then on the flip side, in a negative sense, there are also a lot of times where there are words that carry a negative meaning or connotation, and we also underestimate the negative impact of these words. And we use them lightly as if it's no big deal, but they actually have a dramatic impact. So words are very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah taught him the names of everything. Words is the first thing that Adam alayhi salam was taught. And then a subcategory of that are names of individuals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asma. He has names. We also have names as well. And you'll notice in any language and culture, when something is valued or when something is praised, it usually has a lot of different names that people use to refer to it. And this is very common in the Arabic language, and perhaps it is common in some of the other languages that some of you folks here tonight might be familiar with. But when something is valuable, or when something is fashionable or attractive or something that people aspire for, there will be a lot of names or nicknames or phrases. For that one thing, there will be many ways to refer to that one thing. And that shows you the significance of that which is being referred to. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most important entity in our lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many names. What's also interesting about names, and subhanAllah, this is not necessarily a rule, but it is something observed in creation. You know, the Arabs, they have this proverb. They say, كُلٌّ لَهُ مِنْ إِسْمِهِ نَصِيبٌ. Anybody heard this before? They say that every person will get a share of the meaning of their name. Meaning they will embody, they will end up carrying certain characteristics, certain meanings of that name that they have. And subhanAllah, that's interesting. What comes first? That a person is created or that they have a name? First they come into life and then we give them a name. And what you decide to name someone, I mean, it's amazing that you're telling me that could have an impact or an effect on them. Yes, absolutely. That's why the Prophet ﷺ never advocated or went out of his way to change people's names unless if their name had a negative meaning to it. Because when something has a negative name or is referred to with negative names, it affects that being. I don't know if this is true, but somebody said they did this experiment on some plants. You guys know about this? Anybody hear about this? I don't know how scientific it is, but maybe you guys can try it and then we can see. You guys up for an experiment? Or you just want to hear a lecture and go home and sleep? You want? Okay. So try an experiment. So they said somebody had these two plants in their house. And one plant, every single day, they would praise it and they would say beautiful things to this plant. And then the other one, they would curse it, they would insult it, they would call it bad names, they would speak very harshly and negatively. And they did this over the course of several days and weeks. Allahu a'lam. There's all kinds of things on the internet. I tend to be a little bit skeptical, so try it out and let me know if it works. You guys are thinking, why don't you try it? No, I said so first, so you try it. So, and they said the one that was praised and addressed with nice words, it ended up growing and blossoming and it was a healthy plant. And the one that was insulted and cursed and spoke badly to, it ended up being wilted and it looked rotten. Now whether that's a real thing that happened or not, Allahu A'lam, but definitely that is a reality when it comes to human beings. And there's definitely a relationship between a person's psychological state and how they are addressed. You know, if a person is constantly being insulted, they will suffer dramatically in their self-esteem and in their confidence. They will have major psychological hurdles to overcome throughout their life. That's why sometimes we refer to someone or something with a negative term and we think, oh, it's no big deal. And these words are like really easy, you know? Oh, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're silly, you're ugly, this and that, right? And it's no big deal. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. But actually, it can have a profound effect, especially over the passage of time. And sometimes that effect can be subconscious. Anyways, how did we get into that? Names are important. That's why the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to give our children names that have good meanings. Actually, that is the second right that a child has upon their parent, that they give them a name of good meaning. So a man came to Umar ibn al-Khattab and he complained. He said, my son is driving me insane. So the Prophet so Umar ibn al-Khattab went to the son, he told him, why are you driving pops insane? He said, well, he drove me insane. First he did this and this and this. And other things he mentioned is he said he gave me a bad name. The name that he gave me has a bad meaning. And that's what everybody calls me. That's one of the rights of the children. So Umar said, you're right. And he went and he criticized that parent. So giving children a good name. So why is that? This is what they're going to be referred by for the rest of their lives. And so it's bound to have an impact. And their character and their personality, it will seep into that. The meanings. That's why subhanAllah, sometimes, Allah, I said it's not a rule, it's something observed. Sometimes you find a person, مثلاً, you find someone that has the name of Umar. And they may share in some of the characteristics, not always, they may share in some of the characteristics of Umar. Radiallahu anhu. This is observed, sometimes it happens. Or someone might have the name of Someone, give me some examples. Someone might have the name of what? Huh? Zuhair? Suhail. What does that mean? Aywa, ism tasghir. Yani someone has some ease. Or Yasir, for example, from Yusr. Perhaps. Allahu a'lam. Anyway, so that's something observed. MashaAllah. Tayyib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has names. And these names and these attributes are positive and they're beautiful. Actually, they are the most beautiful. That's why some of the best names is Abd, the servant of Allah, and then you can input, fill in the blank with one of his names. Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Abdul Karim, Abdul Mannan. That's beautiful. Amatullah. That's the feminine version of Abdullah. These are beautiful names, so it's related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the most beautiful and the most perfect of names. How many names does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have? Who said a lot? Zakallah khair. That's the correct answer. 99 is the incorrect answer. Oh my God, that's what I've been taught my whole life. Sorry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an infinite number of names. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To Allah belongs the most beautiful names. We know of them, 99. We have been told in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ of 99 of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and his attributes. And there are many hadith and discussions about that. So we're not going to get into that today. I think Dr. Imad, was it last year? He had a monthly series about the names of Allah. So that's pretty cool. And there's lots of really great resources to tap into about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of my good friends, Ammar al-Shukri, he's got a class that he does, and he's got a video series where he goes through the names of Allah. That's really nice. But today we want to understand how these names have a direct effect to loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the next step after that is being loved by Allah. Tayyib. We said this definition, this statement that Ibn al-Qayyim gave, is he talked about ma'rifa. He keeps using this word, ma'rifatullahi. He says, فَمَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهَ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. So the scholars actually dug into this word. Now in English, we say to have knowledge of something, to know something, to be aware of it. In Arabic, there's two ways we can talk about knowledge. We can say ma'rifa, or we can say ilm. Ilm or ma'rifa or arafa or alima. Adrik, diraya, jameel. That's related. But we'll get to that, inshallah. Adri is something about, you know, yeah, good. We'll get to that, inshallah. But primarily, you will find these two words that are used. Now, the difference between the two, they say, so here we have a technical definition by Al-Raghib al-Asfahani. He says, Al-Ma'rifa wal-Irfan idraku shay'i bitafakkurin wa tadabburin li-atharihi wa hiya akhassu min al-ilm wa yudadduha al-inkar yuqal fulan يعرف الله ولا يقال يعلم الله متعديا إلى مفعول واحد لما كان معرفة البشر لله هي بتدبر آثاره دون إدراك ذاته ويقال الله يعلم كذا ولا يقال يعرف كذا لما كانت المعرفة تستعمل في العلم المتوصل إليه بتفكر. So he says معرفة عرفة is when you come to know something, when you get knowledge about something through the process of tadabbur and tafakkur, through the process of pondering and reflecting and processing over something, and then you end up with ma'rifah. That's why when we talk about knowing Allah, we say so-and-so person ya'rifullah. He knows Allah, and we use the word ya'rif. Why? Because you have to ponder and reflect over the names of Allah and His attributes, and that's one of the important reasons why Allah told us of His names and attributes, so that we would know Him. When you meet someone for the first time, what do you ask them? What's your name? Has anybody met you for the first time and said, I don't know, well, kind of slow today, I can't think of hypothetical situations, because someone fed me mensa for lunch. Anybody know what that is? So I can't think. It's like everything's slowed down right now. Right? Anybody like meet you for the first time and they say like, you know, what's your grandfather's eye color? Nobody says that. You meet someone for the first time, you say, what's your name? That's what you want to know. And then you get into the other nitty-gritty details. So you know someone by their names. You know someone by observing their actions. You might never talk to someone, but you observe them for years and years. You come and you say, that person is very generous. How do you know? I am observing how they behave, how they treat others. Or you come and you say, such and such person is very harsh. How do you know? By observing. So how do you know Allah? By His names and His attributes and af'al and His actions. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and what He has done with His creation. So we say, ya'rifullah. A person gets to know Allah through this process of tadabbur and tafakkur. But when we talk about Allah having knowledge of something, we say, Allahu a'lam. Ya'lamullah. We use the word ilm. Why? Because Allah doesn't need to go through a process of understanding or learning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that knowledge. That's part of Him being the supreme creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't have to learn about us. He is the one who created us. He knew about us before we were created. So Allah has ilm. We can have ilm after we go through the process of ma'rifah. So if you want to do a Venn diagram, if anybody, I really like Venn diagrams, right? So you have big circle ilm, small circle on the inside, ma'rifah. Big circle ilm, small circle on the inside, ma'rifah. And that's really interesting that Ibn al-Qayyim used this particular verb several times when he talked about the fifth way to attain the love of Allah. He said to have ma'rifah of Allah through His names and attributes. Meaning you need to go through a process of tadabbur and tafakkur. Which is very interesting because there is a hadith which is often repeated that إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ اسْمَا that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And it's often translated as whoever memorized it. Whoever memorized these 99 names. And definitely memorization is one component of al-ihsa. But it's not the only one. There is a process of tadabbur. You can just memorize it and repeat it and it'll be nice. It'll be beneficial to memorize the names of Allah. But if there is no pondering over what do these names mean, what do they refer to, how are these names going to allow me to know who Allah is better, then you're going to hit a ceiling pretty quickly. But the idea is to get to know Allah through this process of reflection and pondering and contemplating over these names and what are the implications of these names. And so we'll take one example of Allah's names is Ar-Rahman, one of the most common repeated names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Ar-Rahman. Right? So what does this name mean, Ar-Rahman? Well, it's related to the root word which talks about rahmah, which talks about mercy. What is rahmah? What is mercy? How is mercy expressed? How is it exemplified? How do we see the mercy of Allah in His creation, etc.? We explore these questions and these ideas, and then we get to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through this process. Through this process. طيب. So the first thing is believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes. And recognizing that He does have His names and attributes. There are certain false claims, unintellectual claims that are made that, well, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one being and one entity, then why are all of these different names and terms being used? So it's almost like there is multiple beings or multiple entities. And that's baseless. They are all referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And none of them are contradictory. None of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contradict one another. They are all harmonious with each other. So when we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interacting with the names of Allah, The Prophet ﷺ said, أَنَا أَعْلَمُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ. In another narration, he said, أَنَا أَعْرَفُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ as well. The Prophet ﷺ said that. The Prophet ﷺ affirmed that he is the one who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best because of his understanding of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we look at the Messenger of Allah, actually, we look at all of the messengers, all of the Rusul, all of the messengers. Ali, can you do me a favor? Can you ask the brother out there to turn the AC on? Because we're cooking inside here. In a good way, inshallah. So, when we look at the messengers, they had some rules. فَلِلْرُسُلِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مَهَامٌ وَوَظَائِفٌ. They had certain roles and certain objectives to achieve. Of them, الْوَظِيفَةُ الْأُولَى الدَّعْوَ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهِ. They were to call people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively alone. This is something that the prophets and the messengers did. وَهَذَا لَا يَتِمُّ. The author says, وَلَا يَتِمُّ إِلَّا بَعْدَ تَعْرِيفِ الْعِبَادِ بِالْمَعْبُودِ وَتَفَرُّدِهِ بِصِفَاتِ الْجَلَالِ وَأَسْمَاءِ الْكَمَالِ. He says, and how can you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you don't know who Allah is? And how do you know who Allah is? Well, you start by knowing His names and His attributes. Again, very logical. First time you meet someone, what's your name? We are expected to worship Allah. How are you going to worship Allah if you don't know Him? I need to get to know Him. What are His names? It's a very logical thought process. Al-wazifatu thaniya, بَيَانُ الطَّرِيقِ الْمُوصِلَةِ إِلَيْهِ. The prophets and the messengers were to clearly explain and clarify and show us the path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we get to Allah and His pleasure? وَكَيْفِيَةُ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَىٰ هَذَا الطَّرِيقِ. And once we find that path that leads to Allah and His pleasure, how do I stay on that path? Because it's one thing to find a road, it's another to stay on it. A lot of people find a road and they're like, well, that's a really nice road, but they end up veering off. Right? Some people are driving, they fall asleep on the road, what happens? You get off road. You go off-roading. Let's stick on the road, no off-roading. الوظيفة الثالثة بيان حال المكلفين بعد قطع الطريق إلى الآخرة. And the third thing that the prophets and the messengers did are to explain what happens at the end of that road. Once your life comes to an end and then you are resurrected and then you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what's going to happen? So these are the jobs that the messengers did. وَهَذِهِ الْوَظَائِفُ الثَّلَاثَ الَّتِي جَاءَتْ مِنْ أَجْلِهَا الرُّسُلِ. These three objectives and roles that the messengers did, they were often met with some opposition. And if you look at the opposition that these messengers were met with, oftentimes, more often than not, or one common denominator amongst all of these forces of opposition is مُعَطِّلَةِ الصِّفَاتِ وَالْمُلْحِدُونَ فِي الْأَسْمَاءِ. Those that negated or denied, rejected the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a surefire way to block the da'wah of the messengers, to cut people off from being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The messengers are coming with a job to connect the khalq with the khalq, to connect their creation with the creator. How? Through knowing who Allah is, who is their creator. And those that want to oppose the role and the work of these messengers, they often come and they want to deny or negate or reject, or all of the above, the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another method of opposition were those that wanted to misconstrue, change the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alter their meaning, and refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by other than the attributes and the names that He Himself revealed. And Allah gives us examples of that in the Quran. when certain people made certain claims describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or giving certain attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from. That is yet another method. So we see the names and the attributes of Allah being a central theme that knowing Allah revolves around. We find in Surah Al-Fath, verse number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those that assume bad of Allah. وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ الظَّانِّينَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السَّوءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He will punish the hypocrites, the males and the females amongst them, and the disbelievers and those that worship other than Allah, the males and the females amongst them. What does Allah describe them with? أَظَّانِينَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السَّوءِ. That they think of Allah, they have ill thoughts. They think negatively and poorly of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is this understanding of Allah, of God, that He is evil, or that God is out to punish or torture His creation, or that God is stingy with His creation, or that God... Ta'ala, عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far elevated above these false claims that they've made throughout the centuries. And that still goes on till today. The word choice might have changed, but the rhetoric is the same. The idea of referring to Allah or speaking about Allah in other than the attributes and names that He Himself revealed about Himself. If you want to know exactly from who a person is, the best source is to ask them directly. And so here Allah Himself is telling us what His names and attributes are. But you find a common rhetoric, and sometimes that's used in a way that we don't notice, is comedy. It's very common in comedy nowadays to make references about God in very disrespectful ways. Or to give Allah, to give God Almighty certain names or nicknames that are disrespectful, or that are names that refer to imperfection or flaws. That's directly related to Allah's names and His attributes. So it's very important for us to recognize that and to be careful not to fall into those pitfalls. That's why subhanAllah Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he found his people, his own family, engaging in shirk, engaging in disbelief, he said to them, as is told to us by Allah in the Quran, in Surah As-Saffat, verse 87, he asked his people, فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. What's you guys' opinion of Allah, the Lord of the worlds? You seem to have a very problematic opinion of who Allah is. And that leads to a lot of incorrect beliefs, and those beliefs lead to incorrect practices. طيب. So it's very important for us if we want to, and this is a very simple method of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His names and His attributes. And every name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to an attribute, but not vice versa. Every name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to a characteristic that He has. But not every characteristic is a name. That's another principle to keep in mind. And so the best way for us to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by pondering and reflecting over these names and attributes. The other important usage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes is in conversation with Allah. We often use the word dua, in conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belongs the most beautiful and perfect of names, so call upon Allah with those names. So the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala serve two very important purposes for us. Number one, to know who Allah is. And number two, so that we can infuse those names in our dua, in our conversations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to ask Allah for a rizq, for sustenance, for prosperity, for wealth, you refer to Him by His name, Ar-Razzaq, the one who grants rizq and sustenance, by Al-Ghani, by the most wealthy. If you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for strength, you ask Him by His name, Al-Qawi, the strongest, Al-Jabbar, the one who's overpowering. Al-Qahiru fawqa ibadah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is dominant and is in control over His creation. If you are in a position where you really need mercy and gentleness in the situation you're making dua for, you appeal to Allah through the attribute of Rahmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Wadud, the most loving of His creation, etc. You guys get the idea. So we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these names and attributes, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these names and attributes. So that is number five. Number six. Before we move on, any questions about the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, sir. Comprehensive. Good. Jazakallah khairan. That's a good point, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, you reminded me of something else, which is also for us to embody these characteristics and these names. We are also expected to learn the names and attributes of Allah, and then also bring those attributes to life in our own character as well. So of Allah's names is Ar-Rahman, Rahmah, so we should have instill rahmah into our character, into our dealings. Absolutely. طيب, number six, Ibn al-Qayyim says, مُشَاهَدَةُ بِرِّهِ وَإِحْسَانِهِ وَآلَائِهِ وَنِعَمِهِ الْبَاطِنَةِ وَالظَّاهِرَةِ فَإِنَّهَا دَاعِيَةٌ إِلَى مَحَبَّتِهِ. This one is really interesting. He says, to survey and to observe and to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's goodness and His excellence and His gifts and His blessings, those that are prominent and apparent and obvious, and those that are more subtle and nuanced. This is an activity. This is a process. Just contemplating. SubhanAllah, we had a class with some brothers, and we talked about loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the question was posed to the students in the class, what are some practical things that we can do to get to know, to increase in our love of Allah? And somebody made the suggestion. They said, well, this is what I do. I said, tafaddal, go ahead, what do you do? He said, I schedule. I was very impressed, mashallah. He actually schedules it, puts it in his schedule. He said, I schedule blocks of time, windows of time, where I sit down in a composed and peaceful setting, away from all the gadgets, and I just sit and I think about all of the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. That's it. This is a session where I just... And any other thoughts or ideas or distractions that come to mind, I just get back on track. And I keep listening to myself and thinking and contemplating all of the different things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted and blessed me with in my life. This is actually something He does. You know, you talk to a lot of people, even amongst folks that are non-Muslim. I remember somebody was saying that if you interview the most quote-unquote successful, and of course success is always, they're talking about financial success and building an empire and business success and whatnot, which is one form of success. And they say that you'll find one common denominator, which is that they always have a morning routine. And their morning routine includes some form of meditation, or what they call meditation, or basically where they remind themselves of that which they are grateful for. And so you'll hear a lot of life coach gurus and those types of people, they talk about this, that this is part of your morning routine. That to start your day off by thinking to yourself, what am I grateful for? And subhanAllah, it's like, you know, that's very interesting. And we find that that is one of the direct ways to increase in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a reason why Allah told us in the Quran to reflect over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. Allah says, إِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you attempt to enumerate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you won't be able to literally count them out. So the idea in that verse is it's alluding to the fact that you're trying to do that. You're actually sitting down and going through that process. So why don't you try it? The first time we went for Hajj, we were with one of my teachers, and we were in the camp tent city of Mina, and he made us do an activity. He said, take a blank sheet of paper. I said, okay. And then he said, okay, when I say start, you are going to start, and you can't lift your pen off of this paper. You can't stop. Don't stop. No matter the first thing that comes to your mind, just write it. Don't stop writing. Keep listing out. What are we going to write? He said, you're going to make a list of every single thing, no matter how big or how small, that you are grateful to Allah for. No matter how significant or insignificant, no matter how specific, minute, or general overall. You ready? Go. And the whole group joined in doing that activity. And it was a very fruitful activity, subhanAllah. People came out with pages and lists of stuff. They were like, whoa, I didn't even know all of that existed. But you have to consciously sit down and think about it. And you could do that your whole life. You could spend listing out those things. It's amazing. Al-abdu asirul ihsan, kama yaqulun. There's an Arabic proverb. They say that the individual is imprisoned by the goodness and the excellence that others show towards them. Jubila al-insanu ala mahabbati man ahsana ilayh. They say the human being is predisposed to love, to be inclined towards the one who has shown him goodness and excellence. Sometimes it could be a complete stranger, but they do towards you a gesture of kindness and of mercy, and your heart automatically softens to this person. I like that person. What do you know about him? Absolutely nothing. So how do you know you like them? They were so kind and so nice with me. Just like that. That's the nature of the human being. The hearts gravitate towards that. So if we want our hearts to gravitate towards Allah, then let us reflect over the ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And then naturally the heart is just going to go straight to Allah. Because you're going to start thinking about all of these amazing things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. I was telling you about that activity that brother in the class was doing, blocking out of time. So he made that suggestion. So everybody in the class said, all right, we're going to try it too. A few days later, I get a message, this brother, and he was like, subhanAllah, I've never done this before. Sometimes you do it subconsciously, like, oh man, that's such a great blessing, alhamdulillah. He's like, I've never consciously, intentionally, purposefully sat down and just thought to myself all of the most amazing gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me. And he said, when I did that, I felt like my heart was going to burst out of my chest with like a pair of wings and just soar up into the sky. It was unbelievable. That's subhanAllah. There you go. Try it more often. Why is that the case? Look, the human being is hardwired to a few things. Number one, الإنسان يحب نفسه و وبقاءه وكماله ودوام وجوده ويكره ضد ذلك من الهلاك والعدم والنقصان. وهذه جبلت وهذه جبلة كل حي. The human being, not just a human being, every single living creature wants to love itself and like itself and be good and wholesome and healthy and complete. And they hate the opposite. If it was up to us, we would live forever. If it was up to us, we would never want to die. We would want to stay alive forever. Right? The universal thing throughout all the legends and cultures, people always chasing this idea of immortality, right? And the elixir of life, all that mumbo jumbo. Well, you can have that in the akhirah. In this dunya, kullu man alayha fan. But in the akhirah, there's eternity. So you just got to be on the right side of the spectrum in the akhirah. May Allah make us from the people of Jannah. So the idea is, this is something that living creatures are hardwired for, and they hate the opposite. No living creature wants, you know, unless there is some, some imbalance or some unhealth. Nobody wants to be destroyed and to be weak and to be trodden and stepped upon. That's not what living creatures want. So naturally, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life and gives us faculties, resources, abilities, organs, health, right? And you reflect upon who is the one that gave me this. Well, I know I certainly didn't bring it upon myself. I mean, who here decided to be born and when to be born and what, you know, you didn't, okay? We didn't. None of us did. That's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another reason is al-insan bi-tabi' yuhibbu man ahsana ilayh. We mentioned this, that the human being leans towards those that show them goodness and excellence. As-sababu thalith anna al-muhsin al-mun'im min al-bashar mahbubun fi al-tiba'i wa in lam yasil ilayka ihsanuhu. فإنك لو بلغك عن ملك من الملوك أنه عالم عابد عادل رفيق بالناس متلطف بهم وهو في مكان بعيد فإنك تحبه. Also, another thing that human beings are hardwired is we also tend to be attracted towards people that have positive characteristics and do good things, even if we never experience their goodness. So the author gives you an example. He says, imagine you heard of some king or some emperor or some ruler or whatever in some faraway land. This ruler is not your ruler. You don't live in his or her land. You're not under his or her dominion or authority. But you hear about them. You hear that they are a person of knowledge, of virtue, of patience, of generosity, of justice, of mercy. They take care of those that are under their authority. You're automatically going to be attracted to such a person. And someone comes and asks you, well, what did they do for you? Nothing. But they embody and they have these positive characteristics towards others. They're doing something good for someone else. You automatically think positively of them. You might hear about someone that is harmful or abusive to someone else. Did they do anything to you? No. You like them? No. The person's a scumbag. What did they do to you? Nothing. But you see, when they're abusive to others, you don't like them. That's how the human being, that's how our hearts and our minds operate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us so many times, over and over in the Quran, of the blessings and the gifts in His creation. And Allah starts from the vast and the general and gets really specific. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Surah Ibrahim, verse 32 to 34. الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم. Allah is the one that created the heavens and the earth and drew out and brought down from the sky water. And through that water extracted from the earth thamarat, fruits for you to eat. Rizqan lakum, sustenance. Sustenance for you. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الْفُلْكَ لِتَجْرِيَ فِي الْبَحْرِ بِأَمْرِهِ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الْأَنْهَارِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you modes of transport and mediums of moving from place to place, even in the ocean. on boats, in sea. And he even designed and created for you rivers, flowing rivers. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ دَائِبَيْنِ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Allah designed and fashioned and created for you the sun and moon, and constructed and designed so perfectly day and night. It's amazing. The sun and the moon and day and night. Anybody been to like Antarctic, the Arctic Circle, where they have several months of complete darkness and then several months of... Anybody been there? Me neither. But I heard about it. In Surah Al-Qasas, Allah says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ النَّهَارَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِلَيْلٍ تَسْكُنُونَ فِيهِ. Allah says, imagine if He made your entire lives for the rest of your existence nighttime. Who other than Allah will give you light? Imagine if it was always nighttime. Every time you go outside, it's dark. It's just that was our system of existence. It was night, always dark. I mean, subhanAllah, you go to countries where it's gloomy. Forget about night, it's daytime. But it's gloomy, they have higher rates of suicide and depression. And it affects people's behavior and character. There is a real thing called winter blues, seasonal depression. It's a real thing. Social workers and therapists deal with it. Seasonal depression. This person is happy. Winter time comes, they're depressed. Because there's no more sunlight. And then the opposite. Allah says, imagine if all of your existence was in daylight. Who other than Allah will give you night so you can find within it comfort and solace and relax? One of the ways that criminals and oppressors torture prisoners, they subject them to bright light for days on end. They shine in front of them these huge lights, and it has profound and dangerous psychological impact and trauma. I mean, you might think, well, it's just light. The human being needs sometimes of darkness. Talk to people that always work a graveyard shift. What kind of quality of sleep they get in the daytime? You can get the darkest curtains that you want, block out all the light. It's not the same as sleeping at night. It's not the same quality of sleep. You can sleep 4 hours at night, you can sleep 8 hours in the day. They're not the same. These are of the blessings. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you from everything that you ask. All you have to do is ask. You ask of Allah sincerely, Allah promises and guarantees to answer your dua. One way or another. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. And if you attempt to enumerate and count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to enumerate them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluded with this description of the human being. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ, the human being is ظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. They are often falling into a cycle of behavior of ظَلُوم, of oppressing, and كَفَّار, of rejecting and being ungrateful. Allah is saying, He created for you this, and He created and created this, and this, and this, and this. Allah is listing them. And in the end, the human being is oppressive and ungrateful. And we have no right to be ungrateful. The creation of Allah, the human being, this insan, has no right to be ungrateful. And yet, when we forget about the blessings of Allah, then we fall into this attitude of being ungrateful. And that's a very dangerous place to fall into. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. In the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the fluctuation between day and between night and day, are ayat, are signs for those who want to use their intellect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Dhariyat calls us to ponder within our own selves. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In yourselves there are signs within you. Don't you see? Allah says, أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Can't you open your eyes and see? It's a matter of reflecting. The signs are all around us, even within us. You don't have to go far. Just ponder over yourself. Your body, your brain, your emotions, your heart, etc. You will find plenty of signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. We just have to dig and look for them. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. There are so many verses in the Qur'an, pages upon pages, where Allah tells us about His khalq, His creation of us, the other creations. The verses that actually Shaykh Faqih recited in Salatul Maghrib today, from Surah Ar-Rum. Really inspiring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rum, verse 20 and onwards, He talks about, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. From His signs is that He created you from clay, from dirt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. Then you become different people, different identities and different cultures, and you spread out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. The diversity in your tongues, in your languages, in your speech, in your voices, in your colors, in your races. All of these are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And these are very general. But now we need to come back to a specific. And it's important for us to do that on an individual level. What are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gifts and blessings upon me? A few days ago, a brother from this community was sharing his story with me. I won't say who he is. Maybe he was. Maybe he wants to remain anonymous. But he said that he went through a very, very negative experience in his life. Without going into details, it was something that was real messy, real bad. And in the midst of all of that mess, when he was having some of the worst ideas and thoughts, someone randomly, from a place he would never expect, suggested to him, "Why don't you go to the masjid?" And he's like, what's that? What am I going to do there? He's like, just go. Maybe you'll find someone nice you can talk to. And so he figured, you know what? I don't have any other better ideas. So he came to the masjid. And he said, I came with all of these like humum, all of these like heavy emotions and thoughts and calamities. And I came to the imam. He came and saw the imam of the masjid. And he's like, when I sat there, and then the imam was like, okay, welcome, ahlan, let's sit down and talk. What's going on? It's like, I couldn't think of anything to say. It's like all of that just, I became speechless. And I just started yapping and talking mumbo jumbo. And subhanAllah, that was that experience that brought him to Islam. And he went through the program and he got a mentor and he learned how to do salah. Now he's someone who goes to different masajid and prays, a completely different, you know, change of life. So he was sharing the story by saying how one thing led to another, that he moved because of work, and he ended up being next to the masjid, and all of these things that, if those individual events, when you were to ask him at that time, he would have said, you know, whatever. But looking back, you see how they add up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan for him to bring him to a place of mercy and a place of blessing. And every single one of us has those stories. They say, you know, sometimes you hear people, they always have an interesting story. And sometimes that, like, I don't know, maybe you're like that, but sometimes you hear about them, you're like, man, I must have a really boring life. I don't have any of these interesting stories. They say everybody has an interesting story, it's just the one who actually is able to tell it is because they've actually thought about it. They've actually sat down and reflected. Sometimes it's the most mundane of experiences. But when you sit down and you dissect it and you break it apart, you see the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to life. So that's something that we need to do individually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, when he talked about Prophet Dawood and Sulaiman. We'll close with this note. Our time is up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the story of Dawood and Sulaiman, that they were people who were given authority and wealth. Fadla, Allah says in the Quran. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave them ilm, we gave them knowledge, and they were grateful to Allah, and they said, Alhamdulillah, Allah has preferred us over most of His creation. Anyways, fast forward to the end of the story, in Surah Sabah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Dawood and his family. Sulaiman is the son of Dawood, that whole family. Allah says, you know, you guys have all of these blessings, all of this knowledge and strengths and abilities and resources at your fingertips, wealth. Allah says, اعملوا آل داود شكرا. Work, O family of Dawood, put forth actions of gratitude. Meaning, walk the walk. Do actions that express gratitude to Allah. Not lip service, but amal. Do actions that show gratitude to Allah. But then Allah concludes the verse and He says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. But very few of My servants are consistently grateful. قَلِيل. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he heard a man making tawaf around the Kaaba. And the man is saying, Allahumma ja'alni min al-qaleel. Allahumma ja'alni min al-qaleel. He said, oh Allah, make me from amongst the few. Make me from amongst the few. So Umar grabbed him. He said, hey, what is this? What are you saying? What is this dua you're making? I never heard this before. What are you saying? He got angry at him. He's like, what is this weird thing that you're saying? It didn't make sense. So the man said to Umar, he said, didn't Allah say, وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Very few of My servants are truly, consistently, continuously grateful. Yes, that's in the Quran. So he said, I want to be from amongst those few. So oh Allah, make me from amongst those few. Make me amongst the few. And so Umar was flabbergasted. And he said, everybody's more knowledgeable than Umar. كُلٌّ أَفْقَهُ مِنْ عُمَرِ. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the few who are grateful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who learn and ponder the names and attributes of Allah. And may Allah make us of those who sit and reflect over the blessings of Allah upon them. And may Allah make us of those who increase in their love of Allah. And may Allah make us of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan wa rizuqna tiba'ahu wa arina al-batila batilan wa rizuqna ijtinabah. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الْأَمْرَ مُلْتَبِسًا عَلَيْنَا فَنَضِلُ. Oh Allah, show us the truth clearly as truth and allow us to follow it. Show us the falsehood clearly as falsehood and protect us from it. Oh Allah, save us from confusion that will lead us astray. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيْنَا مُحَمَّدُ. We conclude by sending salutations upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَى وَأَجَلُّ وَأَكْرَمُ وَأَعْلَمُ. Allah is the most high and the most knowledgeable. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. وَسَلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. Our next appointment with one another is going to be, insha'Allah ta'ala, December 15th. Insha'Allah ta'ala, December 15th, we will have the final session of Attaining the Love of Allah. And may Allah give us sincerity and success. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes. Oh, that was the question? Oh, a thought. Oh, jazakallah khair. Yes. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He cared. Yes. Yeah. No, Wednesday night class is here in the masjid. It's Wednesday, it's a masjid class. Yeah, it's still here. It's after Isha. Isha is at 7:30 and it's after Isha. Yes, sir. Okay. Or you can just not come it off as wrong, then we'll be okay.